is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. It's great to be with you here from Bible Home Church. We're so thrilled to be with you again and continue our very vital and, boy, almost mind-boggling series called Gone Berserk. Gone Berserk. Who are gone berserk? Well, it's men and women who pretend to be Christian leaders, but they're leading us into the hinterlands of despair, evil, and, well, I believe, spiritual insanity. Spiritually insane. That's what these men and some women are doing to us. And I believe they are going to deceive the multitudes, and only those who truly know Jesus Christ will be exempt from this great deceit, the temptation to believe in evil that is to come upon the whole world, the Bible says in Revelation, in the last days. Gone berserk. There's no doubt that men and women have gone berserk. Most of our churches have gone out of their minds. At least the congregations have and the pastors. There's very little leadership today. And I would be disturbed about that. And I am disturbed, but I still know this much. There will always be God's elect. You know, Jesus said of the end times of the last days, he said that the deception would be so great that, quote, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Oh, friends, that's a heartwarming, comforting thought, isn't it? If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That's how bad it's going to be. That's how cunning and sly and deceitful, dishonest, unscrupulous are these men who pretend to be so holy and sanctimonious. They're smooth tongues and black hearts. If it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Do you know what that means? It means it's not possible. It is an impossibility if you're truly of God, if you're truly the elect. I recall in the Bible, and you will too, I'm sure, where Ahab and Jezebel were seeking the death of Elijah, God's prophet. And Elijah felt so alone. And he cried out to God. He refused to bend. He refused to bow. He refused to compromise to evil. And he cried out to God, God, why aren't there more like me? Why am I so alone in fighting this great battle? I'm sure he felt incompetent to lead. You know, that is one of the traits, I think, of true Christians. They feel so insufficient. Paul must have felt that way. Imagine. He had no soldiers to guard him, no bodyguards. He wasn't able to fly around on executive jets back and forth. He didn't have good eyesight, they say. Historians say that he couldn't even read very well because his eyes were failing him. Sometimes he would go around with one good friend, you know, Timothy or Barnabas, and that's all. And then sometimes they didn't agree with him on everything. But he just kept sludging through it all. He didn't have enough money to even support himself. And on the side, he would make tents and sell tents. He was a tent maker. He must have felt so inadequate, except that he knew who his Lord Jesus was. He knew of that light that had visited him that day. He refused to compromise. He kept following that light that had blinded him and then given him his sight back. He was alone except for some Christians. And then if you read Corinthians and some of the letters that he wrote, he was so disappointed in them. Some of them, he said, you've gone so astray from what we taught you when we were there that I believe you're cursed now by God. You're falling under a curse. How could you backslide so much? Read Galatians chapter 1 and you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm paraphrasing Paul now, but he said that. I worry about you, he said, that the gospel that I taught you, that came direct from God, that so soon you will leave the bounds of that gospel and go off into an accursed false teaching. The apostles, all of them complained. One said, basically, may God have mercy on this man who has done me so much harm. I'm turning him over to God. When you follow God, there will always be people out there trying to do you harm. Yes, they will. I know that. I've had stalkers and haters and people that have wanted to destroy me and lied about me. Now, I'm not perfect, and sometimes I deserve criticism. But these men go way beyond that. They seek only to destroy, to defame you. There are things that are on the internet that, why, if I read them about Tex Mars, I wouldn't have anything to do with the gentleman. Such lies. People write to me and say, Tex, is this true what they say about you? Well, I don't want to waste my time reading what everybody's saying about me. One person says, I don't believe that Tex Mars preaches that Jesus is not the Son of God. Of course, that's such a lie. That's one of our main messages. Here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The only Son of God. True Son, capital S, Son of God. Tex doesn't teach that, they said. Another one said that I preached that the world would end at Y2K and Jesus would come. And since that didn't happen, I'm a false teacher. But of course, I never taught any such thing at all. That's ridiculous. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour when our Savior will come back again. But we can know the season. We can discern the seasons. I believe we're in that season. I don't know the day or the hour. And if I'd have predicted that at the turn of the century, right on that day, Jesus was coming back again, I would have been a false prophet. But that would be ridiculous for anyone who believes and knows in the Bible and knows that we cannot name the day. But they say that I named the day. Of course, I didn't do that. Recently, somebody wrote me a letter and said, isn't it true that you predicted that Monica Lewinsky would become prime minister of Israel? That was a new one to me. I didn't know that I'd predicted that Monica Lewinsky would become prime minister of Israel. Well, that was a different Tex Mars than I know of, and I look in the mirror every morning. Friends, you will be hated, lied about, defamed, slandered, libeled. People will stab you in the back. And you know what? I don't fear them. I'm not angry at them. I'm not mad at them. I feel sorry for them. If they're so desperate to defame a child of God, well, let them have their way. What is that to me? I don't care if they defame me. It hurts my feelings. Oh, yes, I know that. I've learned now not to retaliate. Don't even try to go back. Don't even waste your time. Somebody said, you can't let that stuff get out there, Tex. You got to nip it in the bud. Really? I don't think so. I just let it go. I turn it over to God. Say, Jesus, I'm turning it over to you. My feelings are hurt. It's not true. It's a lie. Jesus, take it off my chest. Take the burden off of me. You know, the only yoke I want around my neck, Lord Jesus, is you. Because your burden is so light. There is liberty in Christ. But if I get to hating people and getting angry at people, friends, I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage. I want to be free. So I'll just let them go their way. They hate me, they accuse me, they make up stories. Let them do it. Am I going to nip it in the bud? No, I'm not going to even nip it in full flower. I'm going to let it go. And you know, God will reward me and God will reward them for their just deserts. Whatever they earn, they will get from God, believe me. what you reap, you sow. Now, or vice versa. Excuse me. Now, friends, you've got to listen to today's message, Gone Berserk. It's the ninth. This is a long series, but this is an important series. I'm exposing these people, and I know they're going to be mad at me. I know they're going to be angry at me. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no part with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. A lot of ministers won't do that. Oh, they'll brag and say, oh, I don't have any part with that. I don't have anything to do with that. I'll say, yeah, but are you reproving it? Are you exposing it? Are you shining the light of truth on it? Are you rebuking it? They say, oh, well, I don't want to do that. That'd get me in trouble. That'd make people angry at me. Well, I wouldn't be loved. Maybe my salary would be diminished. Maybe I wouldn't get my next career position. I'm on a professional path. Someday I'm going to be Dr. So-and-so. I'm going to have a big church. That's what the pastors will tell you. They don't want to follow the commandment of Ephesians 5:11. That's too much work. That's too much trouble. And people will get angry at you. But didn't I say we're not supposed to worry about what other people would do to us? Friends, you just fear God and you just go about your business. You just keep doing the work of God. You fear God more than men. I fear God. I fear not obeying that commandment. It would be so easy. Do you know how much people would love me if I didn't expose these things? They'd probably say, oh, let's give money to that man. He's full of love. All he speaks about on the radio is how much he loves us. Love is a big money maker, friends. If you don't know it, just go down and find out how many romance novels are being sold today. Love is big business. But exposing sin, friends, that's poverty-stricken area. I mean, no businessman in his right mind would want to publish books that expose sins. Maybe glorify sins. Maybe describe sins and, you know, sexual sins and all those things. Now, that might bring in money. But to say that sin is evil and that God is going to punish somebody, oh, my. A book like that that doesn't have a market. Nobody wants to hear about that. I read in the Los Angeles Times, a pastor out in that area of this country was asked why no pastors today preach on sin. He said, well, you know, preaching sin is just not sexy today. It's not sexy. You got to have a sexy message. Oh, my goodness. What are they teaching at seminary, or what are they doing at seminary? The pedophiles are running most Catholic seminaries, and I'm beginning to worry about the Protestant seminaries as well. Well, we always have some beautiful music, and today we have some gorgeous music for you. What is it today, Sandra? Wedding music. Wedding music. Yeah, you just see there is love. I tell you, there is going to be some love in heaven. There's going to be a wedding going on. And you know what? You're invited to this wedding. That's right. But you got to make sure you have the right garments on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you just read in the Bible the parable of the guest that came into the wedding and he didn't have the right clothing on. Oh, my. And you know what the garments you got to have on are? That's right. The raiments are the garments that Jesus Christ gives you. The covering of Jesus. The covering for sins. If you don't have that on and you show up at the great wedding, the banquet and festival, oh my, they're gonna put you down. They're gonna kick you out. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Your name won't be on the guest list. But I tell you, if it is, if you accept Jesus Christ and he puts that clothing on you, that covering, for sin, because he died on the cross and he shed your sins for you. Let me tell you, when he shed his blood. Listen to me, friends. What a wedding that's going to be. Now, we'd love to hear from you. If you're able to support this ministry with your tithes and love gifts, wonderful. If you're not, keep listening in anyway. Some of you can't afford it. But if you can, would you help us out? Now we have, I believe this is the Cathedrals, singing wedding music, and then we'll have our part 9 of Gone Berserk. I'm Tex Mars.
Tis that wedding music
They say that a budding movie star or starlet in Hollywood today are rushing around, going to every party that they can, and they're telling everyone, yeah, I'm gay. Yep, I'm gay. And in doing so, they're getting all the favorable positions in movies and spots. If you want to be a movie star today, you got to be gay. They say now that it will soon be the case that up to 90% of every person you see on television on all the sitcoms and programs will be gay. And if you're not gay, the other gays won't let you have work in Hollywood. It's interesting. People like Brooke Shields, now she's not gay. In fact, she's married to a man. She was so concerned about this recently that she talked to a movie magazine and said she can't wait to have her first gay part in a movie. She says, I've seen many women, and just looking into their eyes made me want to kiss them passionately. That was Brooke Shields. Of course, she started her movie career at what, age 13, 14, 15, portraying a prostitute or whore in a New Orleans brothel. And I guess the devil hasn't improved on her since then. How can the devil improve on Brooke Shields or anyone else? You expect that in Hollywood, but listen, this is the big thing now among churches. A reading again from Christian Century magazine, March 17th, 1999. Evidently, there's a woman named Marcia Stevens, who's a musician of some kind. And Dr. Mark Allen Powell of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, he's a clergyman, wrote in the March 17th Christian Century that Miss Stevens is a nightmare for conservative Christians. Why? Because she is, quote, a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, God-fearing, lesbian Christian. Wow. Well, in the Christian establishment, Bibles are big business. Just recently reading that Americans now spend, this is according to Time magazine, $400 million a year on Bibles. And that's why publishers are rushing to print as many new Bibles as they can. Time said that there are now some 450 different English translations in print. And even Time magazine noted the reason why. Quote, the desire to make money. When a secular magazine says there's 450 different Bible translations, the reason why? The desire to make money. Isn't that a little shameful? Well, it just goes to show you, if you want the truth, get a Bible that is not copyrighted, and the publishers can't seem to make enough money, so they want copyrighted Bibles. What Bible is it that's not copyrighted in America? That would be the King James Bible. Well, I'll tell you, this guy here I'm going to tell you about next, he could have copyrighted what he said in his prophecies or not. It didn't matter. They didn't come to pass. From the Columbia, South Carolina daily newspaper of Saturday, January the 14th, 1989, we find out that radio preacher Ralph R.G. Stair, who has the Overcomer show on some networks, maybe on this network, I'm not sure, evidently made some false prophecies, and, well, it just didn't go over good with some of his people back in 1989. Now, people today, they don't know that. They don't go back that far. But according to this news report, Brother Stair, as he likes to call himself, and he says he's the last day's prophet, predicted that President Reagan would not complete his term in office. He'd die in office. Well, history books, Brother Stair, prove you're wrong. He said there would be a nuclear war by the end of 1988. Well, that didn't happen. Said the American economy would collapse by the end of that year. Didn't happen. Well, according to at least one man, the Reverend Chuck Rose, an independent minister who had moved his family from Pennsylvania, all the way to Pennsylvania, to live at Brother Stair's campground, this didn't go over at all. According to the Columbia, South Carolina paper there, January 14th, 1989, Rose said, quote, Brother Stair made himself a liar on three counts. He should step down as a prophet. He said he would if he were ever proven wrong. Well, unfortunately, Pastor Rose, Brother Stair, this was 12 or 13 years ago. He still claims to be,
the last day's prophet, and it didn't bother him at all that Reagan didn't die in office. There was no nuclear war by the end of 88 in the American economy. We've had a few recessions, but it did not collapse. And if Brother Stair said he would step down as a prophet and a minister of God, according to this report, I'll leave it to you to judge whether he should. Well, I'll tell you somebody who I wish would step down, and that's these Masons who run most of the Southern Baptist denomination. The Masonic Lodge, my friends, has a death grip on Baptists. For example, take Baylor University, the premier Southern Baptist institution in Texas, the state of Texas. This university has always had, my understanding, a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason at its helm. And Baylor President Herbert Reynolds is not an exception. Now, when you understand that the 33rd degree Mason has lain in a coffin and drank from a human skull, among other atrocities, that's sort of strange. Reynolds is a licensed psychologist. He's also an angry man. Evidently, according to some reports I've got, one young Christian student there was not happy and questioned that a Christian leader would even be a Mason. And Reynolds attacked him and said he is, quote, an aberrant individual with an unhealthy obsession. Well, I guess Mr. Reynolds or Professor Reynolds or Dr. Reynolds or whatever you are, I must be one of those people with an unhealthy obsession, because I am obsessed with exposing Freemasonry as a devilish religion myself. Even President John Quincy Adams did that in his book, Letters on the Masonic Institution, written, in the 1830s. It's been around a long time. You need to wake up, Mr. Reynolds. That student may have been telling you something. Well, from Bethany Church in Sacramento got some news all the way from Russia. Listen, a Christian man in Russia wrote and told me that a Russian Pentecostal friend in Sacramento, California was upset. So this Russian friend of this ministry wrote to me on an email and said, "Dear Tex, this is unbelievable. A church named Bethany Church in Sacramento, California, telephone number 916-369-5505, with some 2,000 members, is planning to have a meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev killed many of us over here in this country. He was a terrible person who led the Communist Party and has never reformed. Why would a Christian church invite him and pay him to be in their pulpit? Please, Brother Mars, tell me how American Christians could sink this low." Well, Brother Valerie and your friend, Brother Razumovsky, the devil can take you a lot further than you ever thought he could. Well, I tell you, the devil is taking a man named Tony Campolo to newer and newer depths. Here's a letter that I got from New Zealand. He wanted me to know that when Tony Campolo... And by the way, if you don't know Tony Campolo, he's the man who wrote me a letter very upset with me because I exposed some of his wrongdoing. Tony Campolo is a professor of Bible and religion at Eastern College in Pennsylvania, and he's a big buddy of Bill Clinton's. By the way, it was Dr. James Dobson who made him a star by having him on his radio program, Focus on the Family, a number of times, and Dobson has never apologized. Campolo was a big promoter of homosexuality.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.